as you heard in our video announcements, it's the beginning of Advent, right? Oh, okay. And so what we're doing today is we're starting an official Advent sermon series. We're going to cover hope today. We're going to look at peace and joy and love and Jesus. Why are we doing all this? But before we get to the why, I must tell you, I am so excited. Because today I get to eat the first chocolate in my Advent calendar. You know why there's an Advent calendar, don't you? It's to help us keep track of the days to Christmas, right? So that we can prepare ourselves every single day. But do you know why there's chocolates in Advent calendars? It's to make sure that grandpas know which day it is. Yeah, no, joke. Because you see, historically, Christians would spend this time preparing themselves. And you know how Christians prepare themselves for something? Prayer and fasting. Now I understand why that Christmas lunch is so much food. Right? Prayer and fasting. Remembering again why Jesus was born. And remembering the hope that we have that he's coming back again. Right? That's what Advent is all about. It's that time of preparation for and looking ahead for what Jesus has done for us. Thank you. There was one amen there. Yes. Today, unfortunately, modern day Christians, we seem to have, with all the commercialization and stuff, we seem to have forgotten that part of preparation. And our preparation for Christmas is has turned towards preparing food, right? Preparing gifts, getting the tree up, getting the lights up, getting all the decorations done. For those going on holiday, it's preparing for the holiday, finding the best route to go, getting the car serviced. You know, all that stuff that we do. Did I mention preparing food? Right? Yeah, it's all part of our preparation, but we seem to have lost that little bit of time that says, let's prepare our hearts for Jesus, right? So Advent, which deals with hope, love, joy, peace, and Jesus, as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, also has a challenge, just a little bit, and it's already gone out on social media. On email to everybody, it's what about starting a new tradition for Christmas in your families? And every day, starting today with Luke chapter 1, as we heard in the video announcements, let's read through a chapter of Luke every single day so we can turn our hearts and minds to who and why we celebrate. But just by the way, I know that there are some folk here today, and there are some others out there who, whenever we talk about Christmas, they cry foul. Not turkey. Oh, foul. Right? About Christians celebrating Christmas because it all started off as a pagan holiday. Right? Have you heard this argument that says we shouldn't do it? Yeah. This is my personal take on it. I'm not putting it on anybody else. This is where my stand. It's very simple. I will use any opportunity. I will use any venue to worship, to praise, to give thanks to my God, to adore him because he gave everything for me. And you know what? He has everything. He owns everything, even those ex-pagan holidays. Right? That's my stand. I'll leave it all to you to think about. So let's get back to looking a little bit more about what Advent is, and specifically we're looking at hope today. And so Advent goes all around God's promise of a Savior that brought hope. Now, Israel At the time that Isaiah penned these words or said these words, Israel had been invaded, they'd been defeated, they'd been enslaved by an army, and the people were suffering. They were battling. Food was short. There was all this sort of religious nonsense going on. They were a nation who had lost hope, and they had no vision for the future. Sound a bit familiar? And yet Isaiah said this. He prophesied about a savior for the people who will come in the future, establish a government, promote peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish it, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. And the zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this." That's what we have to look forward to. Every time we think, oh, government this, oh, government that, oh, people in government this, all the bad stuff, this is what we look forward to. But I must point out that these words might have given Israel lots of hope for the future, but it did not immediately change Israel's circumstances. And this is the words we don't like hearing. People were still suffering, but hope encouraged them to believe God's promises. They changed their focus from their problems to what they were expecting God to do. And because they'd done that, they began to thank him, they began to worship him, they began to say to him, "Lord, we're trusting you for our future." They'd been reminded that despite what they were experiencing, God was in control. And you know, his plans for us are the best that they can be. So if we know that that there wasn't an immediate change to their circumstances, let's start looking first at what hope isn't, right? Hope is not trying to convince ourselves that life is perfect. Even when our daily experience tells us that it isn't. Right? Hope. Hope isn't. It's not even convincing ourselves that by this time tomorrow, all our problems will have disappeared. Because when we begin to think like that, I think we're beginning to think like ostriches during turkey time. You know, head in the sand, living in la-la land, reality check. Yeah, okay. You see, what hope means is being confident that what we expect to happen will happen sometime in the future. What we are looking forward to what God has promised us, we are confident it will happen. We just don't know when. Yeah? Well, the Bible tells us in lots of places what hope is all about. So let's look at some of them, and really I'm only looking at a few. The very first one in Job chapter 11, "You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety." So hope brings us security. Yeah, we really think that security is important, correct? You know, all you have to do is think about it. Wherever we go, there's alarms in our cars, there's alarms in our buildings, there's alarms at home, there's burglar bars over the windows, there's bars over the doors. Gee, I thought that described a prison. Oops, sorry. Not supposed to say that. We have electric fencing. We have big dogs. And as somebody said, not ours. Because we've got dachshunds. Right. Big dogs, yes. Everybody, wherever you go and you look around, you see armed security guards, access control. I think security is important, right? You will be secure, is God's promise to us. With Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are reassured that our future with God is secure. Right? And it's in Him that we can trust. Isn't that a great promise? Right? However, we are also commanded by God to be good stewards of everything that He's given us, to be responsible for. And so we are still required to be careful concerning our day-to-day security. So no, I wasn't just throwing away all our security. Then secondly, the Bible tells us that hope gives us confidence. In Psalm 25, verse 3, it says, "No one whose hope is in you, Lord, will ever be put to shame." And in Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find hope and find grace to help us in our time of need." When our hope for salvation is in what God has done for us and not we are doing for Him, we can never, ever be ashamed of our past. And we are free to come boldly into His presence, to come before Him and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to adore you. Lord, this is what's bugging me. Can you intervene?" Right? That's the freedom that He's given us and the confidence that He's given us to be able to do. Thirdly, in Psalm chapter 71, verse 14, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you, Lord, more and more." Wasn't that a great song we were singing earlier? You know that song, "God is so good." And didn't those words catch you? That when we are suffering, we look back to what Calvary has done. God is so good. Right? You see, even in our darkest hours and deepest pain, with Christ as Lord and Savior, we still have hope for the future. Because when Christ is our Lord and Savior, we know that we will spend eternity with Him in His presence. We will spend eternity in a mansion set aside by Him for us. Our life here on earth is very, very short in comparison. And we're not looking only at our day-to-day life. We are encouraged to look ahead to everything that God has for us. And so we fix our eyes on eternity in God's presence. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. Yes, Lord. So that you will always be with me where I am." You know, hope praises God, and one of the best examples I know of this is Yaz Paul, arrested on trumped-up charges, thrown into prison, and he doesn't hold a personal pity party. Instead, he turns and holds a praise party. Right? He knew who was in control of his life. He turned his attention from his circumstances to who was in control of his life. And he had hope for the future. And you can read all about that in Acts chapter 16. Another thing that hope does is hope strengthens us. In Isaiah 40, it says that youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Because when our hope is that Jesus will return to fetch us, and that is what we hold on to, then all the pressures and problems and stress of life never gets too much. Because we are focused on what He's doing for us It's our faith and our trust in God that fills us with peace and strength and enables us to face the future certain, absolutely certain, that He will keep His promises to us. And then hope helps our faith to grow. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Will actually happen. Because we hope for abundant life from Him. That was His promise. We hope for a future filled with His promises coming true in our life. And so we live those promises out daily. Instead of settling for defeat in our life, let's turn our attention to what Jesus' promises to us and what God's promises to us are and live like that. That's what He's given us. So instead of living out in defeat, let's live in the strength of grace, knowing that we have the victory, knowing that we are blessed and not cursed, children of God, sons and daughters, knowing that our every need will be met and that we will prosper so that we live a life filled with abundance. And as the word says, pressed down and overflowing in life. Right? Isn't that the type of life you want to lead? That's God's promises to us. So where is your hope? Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4 says, there's only hope for the living. So quick. Check for a pulse, right? You know how to check for a pulse? It's either there or there. And if you feel the thud, thud, thud against your fingers, then you know you're alive. And as they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Where is your hope? Romans chapter 8 verses 25 says that hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Right? Hope is what's coming in the future. Another translation that I was reading uses a pregnant lady to, a pregnant mother-to-be to explain this and says that a mother-to-be waits expectantly, excitedly, growing larger and larger as the months go by. Right? Looking ahead with joyful expectation to the blessing of that wonderful event to come. Isn't that true? Right? The birth of that child to come is what they're looking forward to. Those expecting parents, they are not focusing on the suffering of a few hours of childbirth brings. You know why wives go through childbirth? So they can understand their husbands when they have man flu. Yes. Instead of focused just on the suffering of childbirth, those wives, their thoughts are on the joy, the excitement, the blessings of a lifetime with the abundant joy of a child in their life. That's hope. It's looking ahead. See, hope is being certain that God knows what's best for us. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Right. Now we know this verse. We spout it out all the time. But as we heard in the testimonies, we are to have more than head knowledge, but to live it out. Because God's plans are the best for us. You know that there's hope, but there's also a better hope, right? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 19 says, now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. Right? Because this is the true meaning of Christmas, that we draw near to God, that we're preparing ourselves to remember Jesus who was born on this earth so that you and I can have that future and a better hope. That's why Jesus came. It's a hope that says that we trust in God's abilities to fulfill his promises and realize that on our own, we cannot change our circumstances. Only God can. Only when we partner to him do our circumstances change. And the one thing that we know is that Jesus has already paid the price completely. So we are able to have a fulfilling, a loving, a healthy relationship with our Father God. And we can do nothing to either add nor subtract from what Jesus has done for us. Right? That's the hope we hang on to. That's our better hope. And more than a better hope, we also have a living hope. In 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. So we are born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for us. That's the hope that we can live out on. Whatever happens here on earth is temporary. It is of for a short period of time. And we are encouraged to see our future in God's presence. Because just look at the promises that are mentioned here. First of all, Jesus' resurrection gives us a living hope, a hope that won't die, a hope that will not wither or rot away. And why does he give us a living hope? So that we know we have an inheritance in him, an inheritance waiting for us, an inheritance that will not rot, it will not fade, nor will it lose any of its glory, an inheritance kept safely in heaven for us. That's our promise. That's what we hold on to. No matter what happens when we walk outside the door, that's what's waiting for us. And so we fix our eyes on our future with God. We have a better living hope with him as we concentrate on our life to come. And you know, Colossians reminds us of this in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, you've been raised with Christ. So seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth. And so, as we do this, we move our attention away from our own circumstances and we put our attention on God, and that's where our hope is. That's what we live our life out positively in. And the more we do this, so our attention is drawn to the fact that everyone needs hope. Everyone needs hope. Last week, Tony mentioned this. He said, life without hope is unbearable. Without hope, living becomes worthless and without purpose. And you know, this time of the year, there are many folk who really battle with this time, because everybody is supposed to be so happy and yet they are not happy. But for us who have hope from God, we have an opportunity this Christmas to share the reason for the hope that we have, to share a better hope, a living hope for a future with God, to share God's love to those who are battling to find any reason to continue living. That's the purpose of having hope. Right? Because the one thing that hope does is wherever we are, we look for God. And so our preparation for this Christmas season is that we should be constantly asking God to help us to see other people who need to know the encouragement of God's love. We have it in our hands. We have it in our lives and our hearts. All we have to do is ask Him and partner with Him and do it. Making a difference in somebody's life. Giving them the gift of Christmas, the hope of restored relationship with Him. That's what we have. That's what's available to everyone. And so we participate with God and partner with Him as we share His grace and His kindness to those desperately needing hope in their life. That's our challenge. You have in your hands today a gift of a future filled with hope and peace and joy and love. Are you going to keep it to yourself, or are you willing to give it away? That's the challenge of Advent. And so next week, we're going to deal with a subject called Joy in Advent. And I just want to remind you that in your hands you have the key to give hope away. Let's pray for a while. Let's find out what God wants to do right now. Thank you, Lord. I believe that for some of us, this year especially has not been kind. And you really are not looking forward to 2020. This has something to do with struggles that you are experiencing at work. It has something to do with relationships that you have been working your way through. It has to do with sudden, unexpected deaths or health or pain in your body. Right? If that's you, as a family together, we want to pray with you. And if you feel you can, I want to ask you to stand so that the folk around you can pray with you right now. Is there anybody like that to who you feel you're not looking forward to 2020 because this year hasn't been a great year? And so, Father, we want to pray for each and every single one of us sitting and standing here today. We want to ask, Lord, would you, in your grace and in your mercy, Lord, would you bring healing to those who are suffering? Would you restore the relationship between them and you? Father, would you bring hope for the future as we remember your promises? And right now, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come, Lord? Would you come and make a difference in each person's life? Would you come and touch them? Would you come and fill them? Lord, would you bring your healing and your peace to them now in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. We have a team in the front here who's willing to pray for folk who need prayer. And just before you run off, I believe there's two people here who God wants to intervene in your situation. And the first one is someone who's really been battling with depression, wondering, is this the time to give up everything, even life? And this is what you've been thinking. It feels like everything has just become too much. Please, before you run off this morning, why don't you allow the folk who will be in the front here to pray with you. And the second person that I believe is here this morning is you may have started, or you may be you may have started a business venture. And this year has not gone as you hoped it would go. For some reason or other, nothing seemed to work. I believe God is saying this, right? Be encouraged to know that our plans are not God's plans. And we do not know the future, so we don't know what His timing is, but we are called to trust Him and to have hope in what He has for us. But before you leave today, let us pray for you because we want to encourage you before you go. And so I want to encourage you also that if you're not feeling well, why don't you make your way to the front, let our ministry team pray with you. If you have anything that you want to bring before God, come up here to the front, use the aisles, and allow them to pray with you. For our first-time visitors, why don't you join Tony and our team there at the Welcome Center. Otherwise, refreshments are served. Have a great week. And if you're going away on holiday, a very blessed Christmas. And drive safe.